Amen. Whoa. That was loud for just a moment. All right. So, good Sabbath. I was going to send a message last night, but I didn't want it to come across badly, so I didn't. So I will now say the message. So I told you guys a few weeks ago that we were going to be going through kind of a current events thing, just because I hear a lot. You know, sometimes we get some guys that are posting some things on the little chat group and stuff, and I just think things are so serious that we sometimes we live in this bubble, especially in this country, we live in this bubble. And so I know I went through this prophetic stuff, you know, for a few months last year, but I just want to talk about some of the things that are going on in the environment. And no, I don't mean environmentalism. In the world, there's just a lot. And so I wanted to touch on some of it, and we're going to do it for the next 3 weeks. And on the third week, I'm going to bring what I'll call it a balanced understanding to all of the eclipse hysteria. And I'm not saying that it may not be warranted, but as I was it yesterday, I had this thing pop up on my phone that I shared back in 2012. And I said something like, this is like, I don't want to brag or anything, but this is like the fifth end of the world that I've survived. Right. And that was during the Mayan calendar stuff where everybody was tripping. And then we rolled into 2015 when we had the alignment of the, what was that thing? The Revelation 12 and the stars alignment. And it's just one thing after another where people are getting excited about things. And I'm not saying we're not, but I'm just going to kind of give you a balanced stuff. But at the same time, you don't want to ignore the things that are going on, okay? And so what I was going to say was, hey, this is going to be a heavy word. Not that I'm going to be beating a sheep. That's not what this is about. This is just about talking about the things that are kind of going on. And we don't want to just go, well, the Lord's going to take care of it and everything's going to be great, because that's just a lie. Let me correct that. He is going to take care of it, but we don't want it to have this idea that none of it is going to be a burden. Right. All right. And so I was just going to say, hey, if you're not ready for anything heavy, you might want to go to mypillow.com and just kind of get comfortable, because it's. Well, but of course it is. Right. All right. So what I'm going to be talking about today, tomorrow, and the week after is an analysis of the things that are going on. It's both from a geopolitical and a biblical. And just a strong feeling of the Lord. I think during the one on the eclipse, I'm going to share this dream that this guy sent me, and it bore witness with a lot of the things that I've been feeling. So I'll probably share that then. And a lot of things seem to be aligning prophetically. So we just want to be careful with that. Remember, I taught about the 6 days, 6,000 years, and that's why I think we need to be paying attention. And I said that if things don't align up by about 2034, then we have to reevaluate premillennialism. We do. That means we have to accept something called amillennialism or postmillennialism, meaning that nothing's happening until the end of the millennial, because we know we're about 6,000 years from the beginning of creation. And so that's why I think we're starting to see things happen. Hosea 5:15 says that he will return to his place. Reads exactly like this. He said, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their offense. And in their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. And then Hosea 6 says, after 2 days that he will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up. So what was the affliction that was caused? Because when the writer says, in the offense that they committed, and he said, I will return to my place, this was God talking. And so he came, there was an offense, and he went. And there's an inference here with this Hosea thing that after 2 days that he would revive his people and on the third day raise him up, and some think that's a reference to the resurrection. And we'll see. But I think all of this is setting the stage for preparing Israel to get to the place where they have to do what Yeshua said, which is declare, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that is only going to come through their affliction. That's not going to come easy, because you may have read this once or 50 times in the scriptures. God himself declares his people a stubborn, stiff-necked people. Right. And I'm okay with that, because I can align with that. Right. No, that's true. Occasionally, I can be a little stubborn. But you know what? Sometimes you have to be. and stand your ground on things. But also remember, I said, as we watch things, be careful with the guys that put out nice little checklists and timelines and all that stuff, but also don't forget the geopolitical fulfillment of things. And when I was talking with one of the guys at work, because he was having some strong feelings about certain things, it was kind of funny. So he just came in out of the blue the day before on Thursday, maybe it was even Wednesday. And he goes, I had an earlier shift. He was coming in, and he comes in. He goes, "You there?" I was on the other side of the cube. I go, "Yep." He goes, "What is the deal with this red heifer thing?" And I said, "You got 15 minutes because I'm walking out the door." And he goes, "Well, why are all of a sudden am I hearing stuff about this?" I said, "Well, sit down, and I'm going to talk about that next week." And it was after he came back because his computer wasn't working. Well, then the computer guy came in and started working. He goes, "All right, well, he's trying to fix my computer. I want you to tell me about this thing." So I go through and I tell him the whole thing. And then the computer guy gets up and stands up. And he goes, "They also sealed off the eastern gate. And they're talking about opening that thing up." And so he starts joining in the conversation. And then after he left, he goes, "It's nice to know the computer guy's crazy like one of us," right? And so anyway, there's people are starting to pay attention, all right? And there's things that we need to pay attention to. I'll start off by saying it this way. Something's got to give. You can feel the tension. You can feel it. Something's about to pop. And I don't know what it is. I did a sermon, and I really wish I would have listened to it, back in 2013, I think it was, when I was over at Keilat. So I retired in January of 13, and then I got on an airplane a couple weeks later, flew up to Seattle to visit my friend Ibarz. We watched the Super Bowl together. While I was at the Little Rock Airport, I was walking past, I don't know if it was like a bookstore, but they had a turnstile kind of thing of books out there. And the book that just jumped out said, "When a Nation Forgets God." And so it was like 100 pages, and I read it on the way to Seattle. And so I immediately put together a little kind of series thing. And I think because things kind of calmed back down, I don't know, maybe I just didn't really take to heart everything I was talking about then, even though I've always kind of believed that things were heading south. And in the book, it starts talking about all the things that start happening to a nation when they begin to turn on God. Because we think about Israel, or somehow we think that America was the only nation that was ever founded on the principles of God. You got to remember, as the gospel went west, all of the nations were founded and were Christian nations. And there's a psalm or a proverb, whichever one it is, that says, that talks about, "Blessed is the nation whose Lord is God." Well, that ain't the case here no more. So we have to be, in reality, accept reality of the things that are going on. I remember, I think it was Billy Graham that made the statement that said that if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. And I think though it's comical, it's true. It is absolutely true. We have become so numb to just the violence, the sickness, the wickedness. It's just everywhere now. And we don't even pause about it anymore. 7% of our population now identifies as homosexuals. 30% of Gen Zers identify as somewhere on the LGBTQABCDEFG scale. 30% of that generation. 30%. We are unrepentant, unrelenting on the murder of the unborn. We rejoice of what happened with Roe v. Wade, but guess what it didn't do? It didn't change anything. All it did was move everything to the state, and one statistic said more children have been murdered in the last year than the previous years. They just went to the states. No, it's good, and I'm sure some were saved, but the numbers didn't change. There were some in certain communities that were saved, but in others, got on airplanes, got in cars, had states that would say, "We will pay for you to come here." There's no change of heart. And let's just pretend for a minute if God says he abides by his own minimal standard of an eye for an eye. That's the minimum, no more. Is he going to hold us to account for 80 million? Is that what it's going to cost this nation? 80 million dead? Marriage is down, divorce is up. We now have a relative that is engaged in the newest marital trend called thruples. Couples just sharing one another. Childbirth is down. Not in this house. I had dinner with a friend of mine, and I couldn't. And his wife, we went out, and his wife works at was substituting, I think, over in Cabot, and so she was substituting one day and began to hear this cuckoo, 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 and she was like, "What is going on?" So she steps outside the classroom and looks out. There's a girl galloping down the hall with her little hooves on. She's a furry. She identifies as a horse. They have other kids that identify as cats. They have to provide them with litter boxes. We have lost our ever-loving mind. But you know what? It's not just them. I can go back and pull up some videos online where we're in Pentecostal services where men walking around crawling on all fours and barking like dogs and think they're being led by the Holy Ghost. Being led on a leash by their wife, barking like a dog. Same spirit. We call that God. And then if they do survive the womb, what do we say? We're going to cut some parts off of you. You identify however you want. And you think this isn't serious. Parents are losing their children by not allowing their children to do these things. They are passing, I was going to bring, I'll probably bring them next week, the bills that have been passed in multiple states where if you do not support, you will lose your child. And if you verbally speak against these things in some states, you're going to go to jail. It's already in Canada. So we can sit back and go, oh, it's so great. The Lord's so good. Race and gender divisions, promise you, race war's coming. Why? Because they're laying the groundwork for it. Everything is about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we're going to cause division based off race, based off gender. You know what the number 6 and number 11 visited websites in America are? Porn sites. The first 5 are just simply Google and Facebook and just normal. The 7, 8, and 9 are other, you probably know them, there are other search engines and computer-generated kind of things. But as far as entertainment, we don't even give it a thought. They don't cover and tell you on the news. They have to lock up toothpaste in many states, in many cities. It's so sad. It hurts. It really upsets me. The homelessness, the drug addiction, the violence, the lawlessness, the division, the corruption, it is absolutely insane where our country is at. Everybody wants to talk about the immigration stuff. It's the beginning of a judgment from God. In the book of Jeremiah, I think chapter 51, it says the judgment against Babylon. He said, you have trusted in your walls because Babylon had very large walls. They were very wide. And they could run chariots like, I think it was like 8 abreast or 4 abreast, whatever it was, along the top of the walls. And so he said, you have trusted in your own strength and in your own might, and I will bring men from within your walls and destroy you from within. So when I get the latest TikTok or whatever gets shared with me or whatever, do you see this? Do you see this? They're not talking about the things that are happening. They're just not. Let's say you don't even believe in God for a minute. You tell me how in the natural this nation survives. It doesn't. It doesn't. It's impossible. And you're like, whoa, you weren't kidding about this being a heavy word. Because there are a lot of things going on. And if you're not looking at all the other websites and all the other non-mainstream, you think everything's great. And our country is just going to keep printing money, keep having all of this immorality and destruction and death and murder. And somehow it's all going to work out great. I'm telling you this because you need to prepare yourself mentally and emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially. I've never felt anything so strong like I have right now. Because, and the reason it's just, I don't know, it's just so heavy. And it's not that I live in it. Like there are certain things like, you know, Casey will share me with a couple videos that things that will come across. And there are people who just, and I say this because I like to come at things, you know, I try to be balanced. I could be careful with the guys that are saying the latest conspiracy this, the latest conspiracy that, because they have the certain insight here, insight there. Be careful, but also just be aware. You really have to be led by the Spirit. And if you're feeling what's going on, quit ignoring it. And quit just wondering, hey, are we going to come out of this? Because if there is not a massive revival, massive, 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 worthy of a 67th book of the Bible, we do not come out of this. We don't. But I don't know what it looks like either. I'm telling you, because you need to make sure you're ready, as I just said, all the way around. How does the soul of America change when the soul of America is just as bad? What do I mean by that? The soul of America was the pulpit. The soul of America was church. You cannot change the soul of America until the soul of America changes. Where's Jeremiah? Where's Isaiah? Where's Ravenhill? Where's Wilkerson? Where's the guys that have the voice that are calling for repentance? Nobody. And we still have all of the prophets running around going, Trump, 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 Trump. It's starting up again. God said He was going to send a lying spirit to the prophets of Israel because they were saying peace and safety and everything's going to be great. And they're still running around saying revival's coming. Not till after the destruction. It will be after the smoke clears. By the way, if you're a fan of Pastor Locke, it's not him either. He's a pastor in Eastern Tennessee. He's well known for his loud screaming rants on YouTube, TikTok, wherever. The reason I say it's not him, because everything we're doing in here is of the devil, according to him. The Sabbath doctrine is of the devil. It's not Pastor Locke. I know people went down to Hot Springs to go listen to Pastor Locke because he's the latest loudmouth on TV. He loves the Lord. I'm just saying, that's fine. But don't put your hope and trust in men. And for crying out loud, quit putting your trust in Donald Trump. Watch some of the videos of that man speaking. Ain't nothing changed. Financially, how do we come out of a national debt that cannot be repaid? What happens when we can't borrow? What happens when the inflation doesn't slow down and they keep printing? Commercial real estate is imploding. Bankruptcies are up, homes are unaffordable, prices are up 40%, wages are not, and 60% of the people in this country could not lay hands on $1,000 in an emergency situation. Serious times. Serious times. Many of the world nations are tired of being bullied by America because we've used our financial prowess to tell them and force them to do what we want them to do. And what are they doing as a result? They created something called BRICS. I'm not saying this is the thing that's going to end it all, but it stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And about 30 other nations have petitioned to join this unified currency. Saudi Arabia is one of them. One day, they're all going to go, we're done with the dollar. Who knows when? So we have all of this problem. We have all of this financial burden that's put upon this nation. How do we fix this problem? Do we refuse to pay it back? Do they attack the lenders? Do they implode the old system for a new one? You have to believe that we have some of the most educated morons in the planet leading this nation, or there is absolutely a spirit of stupor. It's evil. That people will continue knowing that they are going to destroy this nation with what they're doing financially and still printing, still borrowing, and not caring as long as they get a couple more votes to stay in the next time so they can keep borrowing and keep printing and, by the way, keep passing such immoral laws. Until we stand up, and it's not politically, okay? It's not politically. Until the church gets serious, and the church stops the same division that is in the body of America, not just in there. We got global chaos. We got Israel. We got Ukraine. We got Sudan. We got Haiti this week. We got Venezuela, the riots in Paris, the farmers in Europe. Remember all the stuff that was going on with COVID? Then we had in Canada. You guys are like, wow, wow, right? Oh, I forgot. You know why? Because it's every single minute. It is almost daily. Russia had an attack today that killed over 100 people and hundreds injured. Islamic Jihad or whoever claimed to do it. So you're like, dude, you're not making me feel good. Good. Because that's not everything is about walking around and you running out of here going, hey, everything in God is poppy duck tails and lollipops. That's all the things are God now. Because we have been so spoiled that we've gotten to a place in this country that where we can fight over the carpet in pews and stupid stuff. And because our lives aren't threatened. I'm really a nice guy. I'm just getting really tired of being a nice guy. I really am. I'm really getting tired. So is it just the norm? Oh, this is just the norm, Steve. It's been like this since the beginning of time. Maybe around the world, but it wasn't here. We used to say just in off the cuff that, well, we used to be able to leave our doors unlocked. That's a true statement. You didn't have to worry about what we see today. What do you hear about all these people building doomsday bunkers? Famous people, rich people. Why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? This year we have elections in 50 different countries around the world. And some of them are in some very major countries, obviously this one. Remember last year? What was on the news every other day? Food processing plants. What's on the news every day now? Cattle farms. There's no way. You either have to look at this and believe that there's a cabal or God's judging this nation. Either way, we're being attacked. It's just that simple. Farms are shutting down, skyrocketing food prices. The UN just released a point about how 30%, currently 30% of the people on the planet get one meal a day. It's so funny. I had a pastor friend of mine. I couldn't believe I shared it with Billy. He came up to me and he goes, hey, have you heard about this thing called Agenda 2030? I was like, did you just come out from under a rock? The World Government Forum, which is also dated for 2030. Out of the ashes of World War III will rise, I think, the third and final empire. Because the League of Nations came out of World War I. The United Nations came out of World War II. And who knows about revived Roman Empire stuff and all of that. I don't even know how true that particular theology could be. Because Europe can't put an army together. They really can't. Half their stuff's busted, and they buy from us. And I told this a few weeks ago. I told you that we couldn't. They shut down every flight on the base last week because they couldn't get the airplanes in the air. We have two-thirds of the C-130 fleet. Not two-thirds. Oh, one-third of the active-duty fleet of the entire United States Air Force is on this base, and they couldn't put them in the air because they didn't have money to buy the parts and fix the airplanes. That you didn't see that on the news. Why? Thank Uncle Joe for sending all that money to Ukraine. They took that money, pulled it out of the budget, and said, we're not worried about training. So is there some big cabal? There is. His name's the devil. But is there this whole thing about UN stuff and Bilderbergers and all these other kind of things? I don't know. Let's just say for a moment there is. You think they're going to let the orange man back in office this fall? It's going to, something is coming. And I feel even stronger about this than I did last year with all the stuff that kind of got rolling in Israel. But I'm going to say this to you. The reason I say don't put your trust in that man and is because he might actually be part of the plan. So you know when the Russians and what happened in the early 1900s and the Bolshevik Revolution and all this other kind of stuff, they actually had people on the inside to pretend like they were in favor of the government or in favor of the people and not the government. And so they pretended to be helpers. And it's why all the people that went nuts with QAnon a few years ago, all the people that fell into that rat's nest, what happened to it? Where'd it go? Nobody's talking about it. I used to see Q videos all the time. Don't worry, the real Constitution is going to be in play. The real president is going to come forward. What happened to it? Why did it die? Probably because it was a tool of the left to get the people on the right to not raise up. Because if the people on the right knew 100% that their election was stolen, they might have done some damage. And so they wanted them to think, no, it hasn't been stolen. You got the right guy. I don't know. I think I got everybody's attention. I told you, and I didn't even hit on next week, we're going to talk about AI. We're going to talk about why are UFOs no longer a terminology? Why do they talk about UAPs? Why do now scientists come out and say it's impossible? There's no way we would have video footage of all these things flying throughout the space. We would know if they were flying. They're not. They're interdimensional. Boom! We're going to talk about that. What does that mean? Demons. Why is all that starting to surface? Demonic. Things are happening. And then we're going to talk about the divided land of Israel and why we need to be praying for them. And it's just what I was thinking about this morning when I thought was a Freudian slip on Ishmael was that God is getting ready to shake the world and he's going to bring everybody back. It has to happen. It has to happen. It has to. Because we won't do it. All you have to do is go to this and go watch happen to Israel. Every time they got away from God, and then they came back. Every time. If we had voices that were actually declaring for repentance instead of just money revivals, then I might think there was hope. But we don't have any. And I'll close with this. You need to figure out what it is that you need to do to prepare yourself. We changed our plan on our house because that's how strongly I feel about it. But what did Yeshua say when he said these things were going to begin to happen? Fear not. He said, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. We have gotten so comfortable that we just want to come clock in. Hey, God, come hang out for a little bit. This doesn't apply here because you guys come to service 5-6 hours a day. I'm talking traditional church where we give God an hour and go, thanks, here's a nickel, and think we're serving God. But until we have a hunger and we just go, I may pray. I may study. I may go to service. Until there's a burning fire within you that everything you think and do and talk and breathe is about God, nothing will change. It will not change in your personal life, and it surely is not going to change in your city, and surely is not going to change in this nation. The body of Christ has to get on fire more than any other time in its history. It has to be like Jeremiah said when he was actually mad at God, when he actually said, I prophesied and did all of these things in your name and they still rejected me and they still turned on me and they still did all this stuff. He said, I'm never going to speak another word in your name. He said, but there was a fire shut up in my bones that he could not help but speak. So I get excited when the things happen because we'll get serious again. Billy and I have been joking about it for a couple years. We just wanted to start so we know who to fight. We just want to know who to square up on. We just need to know who the enemy is. Too many times they're in church. Too many times it's... I know that's not here. This is for you to take outside. But when it does, and we get our focus off of our beautiful, wonderful, once glorious country, and realizing America is not the kingdom. It is about the kingdom of God. That is the only thing that this is about. And however it is that we have to fight, whenever that time comes, obviously it needs to be more in the spiritual. And we'll stop all of the divisions, all of the infightings, and then maybe we'll see something happen. But let's say it is. Let's say this really is the time when we're about to watch it. How are you going to respond? With fear? Even if it's not, what is your response? Because His kingdom is not of this world. I'm not fighting for this country. I'm fighting for His kingdom. That's the only kingdom, and not our own little kingdoms, not these little kingdoms, not our own little ministries. It is only about Him. If we've made church, or about a pastor, or about a worship leader, or about a ministry, instead of about Him. And if it is, what do you think is going to happen? I'm bending over right now because I want to do a runaway. If it's it, how are you, what's your response going to be? Glory to God, the King is coming. He's coming. That's the response. That's why I want to see it break loose. I can't even begin to tell you I will not even be remotely in control. And I don't know why I don't live like that now. Because we've lost our focus. We put it on the four walls. We put it on our favorite preacher, our favorite denomination. I wanted the light. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like if it's it. Yeah, I hope it's it. But if not, let it fall so that we can get that same hunger again and stop running around for the next political leader, the next so-called revival, until we're willing to be broken. I'm not afraid of what's coming. I hope you're not. What are we celebrating tonight? They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. We will not lose this battle unless our focus is on this country and any political leader. If our focus is on what He's doing, then let all of the political mess happen. Let all of the financial stuff collapse and fall down. Let it all fall apart if we all get together and become one in Messiah again. I'm not saying this to fear you. I'm saying this that it's time for the church to get sober. And you tell all your friends that you're acquaintances with, and anybody that you have a disagreement with, and go, we need to stop it. Because this is the only thing that will change. And there's more people out there, like our computer guy. Because the one guy said, maybe there's more of a silent majority than we realize. I said, you better believe it. But it's only when this whole thing falls apart and this candle lights that we'll get serious. So what am I asking you to do now? And I'm closing with this second closing. Check yourself. Every day, you got to ask yourself, if there's anything in my life that is preventing me from drawing close to you, anything, any sin, any thoughts, evil imagination, because when He comes and all of this happens, if your hunger is not an excitement is looking for His coming, and you have fear, you need to ask yourself why you have fear. It's because your sin is why you have fear. And for all of the young people that are concerned about what about my life, there is no other purpose in the universe except for Messiah. Sometimes I hear it from some young girls in the house. I hear it from some other young people. I want to get married and have children and have my life. It's not your life. It's not your life. And how awesome would it be to never get old, fat, lose your hair, have your knees hurt, but to be 25 years old when the Lord comes? How glorious would that be? Instead of going, oh, is He here yet? So don't get focused on what it is that we think we have in this life now. It is only about the kingdom. Yes, serious things are happening. Yes, serious times are coming. But it's not that you run around like Chicken Little and go, what are we going to do? It's for us to get recentered, recaged, refocused. That's the message that I'll be bringing over the next few weeks of this, to make sure that we don't have just one more thing that we get to jump on people about or have division about, but we get serious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you. And yes, I know this was a heavy word. It was even very difficult to even praise for what I felt. As much as you love us and as much as you want good things for us, you are also a very jealous God and you will not share your glory with another. And that you will not dwell in a camp that has sin or in a house or a human temple. So as we look about the landscape of America and see all of the sins, what things do we have in our life? They may not be some of the big ticket items. It may be just some coldness, some unforgiveness, a little gossip, a little slander, things that are actually quite big in your sight. So help us live every day in the fear of the Lord. Not because you were just sitting up there waiting to kill us for sin, but because you desire holiness. And that we need to desire righteousness. So help us to do as the psalmist said, and that we cleanse our heart, Lord. That we say to you, take the hyssop and just scrub those things out that are not right, that are not set apart. And we will do every day what we're getting ready to celebrate tonight, rejoicing and knowing that we will be victorious. And if that means we die a young martyr's death, so be it, because we have the hope of the resurrection, the hope of glory, the hope of the return of the Lord in the life and in the age that ultimately matters. And that we will rejoice no matter what. I bless you and I just thank you and I just pray that more ministers would do a sober reality check of their own church, their own hearts, and that somebody, that you would give somebody the voice and the platform to start calling this nation to repent. That as the spirit of Elijah that was upon John the Baptist, he was calling people to repentance. When Yeshua came down, his first words were repentance. So help us to check ourselves, to make sure that we're right. And after we've done that, as David got up, after he found out that his son had passed, he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to where he's at. And realizing that anything that we have to lay upon the altar is forgiven and forgotten, and that we can look forward to that rejoice and glorious return of the Lord, Father God. So help us to not be afraid, but to look up, for one day our redemption is going to draw near. And we thank you for all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen.